Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President CEO of The Wine Growers. We are here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine.
It is. All of those things, as I always say, as you always say.
I do always say. It's true, though.
It is true.
It's true. All right.
I think we're just like, I mean, when you get to November, December, and like you're through harvest, the holidays start to kind of creep up.
Yeah.
You're watching a lot of football.
Yep, definitely.
And so it's a lot of opportunities to have food and wine.
Yeah.
And friendship and company and conversation. Or just a glass of wine by myself in front of a fireplace. Happy with that, too.
Yeah, sometimes that's,
you know,
that's
just exactly a moment of calm. Maybe
perfect.
That's the other piece, the moment of calm.
The moment of calm, yes.
Yes, I know. Well, we made it through the holidays, the first one, Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's a marathon.
It's
We're
a
halfway
marathon.
Through, maybe.
Yeah. And we have a huge week coming up at the Wine Growers, a very important week we've been working on for 2 years, actually, since our last one. But we are hosting our second Farm of the Future Summit. So, inspired a couple of years ago, gosh, back in late 2021, early 2022, by Ford Pro and their launch of the F-150 Lightning, we launched this sort of initiative called Farm of the Future, where we realized kind of a specialty crop, and certainly as wine grapes and vineyards, it was really important for us to think about partnerships and collaborations to bring innovation and equipment and technology to our grape growers. And frankly, more and more with the goal of just efficiency and over time, what do you invest in that will help you lower your cost?
Yeah.
So reduce your touch points maybe in the vineyard, do something more efficiently, use less resources, all of those things that are really looking at kind of how do you do more with less.
Absolutely.
And so we've had so far a number of collaborations. So kicked off with Ford Pro and the F-150 Lightning and charging and telematics, and then launched a 5-year partnership with Wilbur Ellis in agrology, looking at sort of creating more organic soil matter, that sort of what has now become regenerative farming.
Mm-hmm.
And are in year two of that in agrology, which has carbon sensors that kind of reads this real-time data of what's happening. And then we were able to kick off 2 years ago a really great partnership with John Deere, and we've had them on the show, so that's been fun. And so this week, on the 3rd and 4th, we are doing kind of a day-and-a-half summit, so we're going to have, gosh, I think it's around 20 different companies and organizations sitting alongside a number of our pilot farmers. We have a big announcement, sort of ribbon cutting ceremony that's going to kick off the Farm of the Future Summit on December 3rd. It's on Wednesday. Stay tuned.
Ribbon cutting. So
yes,
English.
Something very exciting for viticulture and certainly for Sonoma County and our grape growers. And then we'll be kind of in session facilitated by our partner, Raul Kapoor, Professor Kapoor, who's part of the Wharton School of Business, runs the strategy department there. He's going to be our facilitator, moderator for Thursday, and we'll be literally sort of strategic planning our farmers alongside these companies that support agriculture. So
okay.
I know you're coming, so it's going to be fun
All right.
and interesting and, you know, hopefully inspiring.
Yeah. And and we can report back on a
yeah.
future Good Stuff.
We absolutely will.
We'll be right back on with our guests. Joining us on today's Good Stuff in Studio, we have our guests Michael and Kara Buslin.
Yes.
Yes. From I'm so happy that I pronounced that correctly.
Yes,
I think I did. Co-owners of Woodhawk Vineyards. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Good to be here.
We have so much to learn.
I know.
I want to know everything. Yeah, I want to know everything. So from what I have gathered, you both came from an education background and PR background, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so tell us a little bit. Where'd you grow up?
You first.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I grew up all over Northern California, which, of course, is a great place for wine. Mm. But my parents only had box wine in the fridge. Mm. So that was like my introduction to the land of wine. I ended up going to UC Santa Barbara. And so that was really, really fun, as you can imagine. Yeah. And then Michael and I met in San Diego. We were both doing public relations. Nice. And that was during the big, you know, 2000s, like the dot-com boom. Oh, and everything was just nuts. It was really, really fun.
Indeed, it was. It was a lot of fun. I grew up in San Luis Obispo. My dad is at Cal Poly. So I grew up, my family wasn't in agriculture education, but sort of surrounded by agriculture. I had lots of friends who had the animals at the fair and FFA and Future Farmers in America. And then went up to Santa Clara University to go to school and found myself in proximity to wine country as a student. And it was in the 80s, and I discovered in my junior year after I turned 21 that I could drive up to Napa in less than 2 hours, and I could taste wine for free.
Yeah.
And that was a really great thing for starting college students.
I know, lamenting about those days a lot lately, yes.
We would scoot out of school and go up on Thursdays and Fridays and, you know, taste for free at Silver Oak and Camus and Heights and Joseph Phelps and all those places.
Yeah.
That was a terrific introduction to wine.
Yeah.
Were either of you kind of into food at that point, or were you really just starting to kind of discover all this?
You know, I think it was, you know, kind of the mutual discovery. We got together and we both realized we do like wine. And of course, the more you know about wine, the more you realize you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we started on our journey of loving wine together. And of course, it goes hand in hand with awesome food.
Yeah.
And we were living down in San Diego, so we had a lot of Mexican influence. Yeah. And so when we moved up to the Bay Area, we moved to Danville in 2005 after the birth of our twins, our boy-girl twins. And so we moved up, and that put us adjacent, and especially Michael back adjacent, to Napa. Mm-hmm. And so on the weekends, we would foist our twins upon whatever hapless babysitter happened to be around, and we would drive up for the day. And in those days, it was like, we need to taste as much wine as possible. Yeah. And then we've learned, like, that's really not a good way to do it, because by the fourth winery, you're like, this is the best wine I've ever had.
That's when you end up joining wine clubs.
Yeah, yes, that's
yes,
true.
Yes. It works every time.
Yes, which, so we learned how to temper
ourselves.
And
now that you're in the business, you appreciate that way more. Right?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, you ask your visitors, you're like, will you be the fourth visit today?
Because you can gauge how it's going to go.
Yeah, totally.
But talk about that. I mean, I think some of that is kind of lost, but I mean, going wine tasting was a really fun thing to do on a weekend as a couple, and you're like sneaking away from your kids. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that I feel like we don't talk about that as much, but that sounds like that was kind of a critical part of your relationship.
It was, and we ended up with friends who enjoyed doing that too, and so then we have a chance to do stuff that was with adults that didn't involve our kids for on occasion, which was also really wonderful. Yeah, I mean, it's the whole experience. It's the driving down the road. It's the leaves. It's the wind. It's the entire experience of visiting wine country, in addition to the wine. And then, of course, the food. It makes it all so wonderful. And so, yeah, that was really something we – so 20 years ago,
right.
We looked at each other and said, in 20 years or in the future, we want to change careers and go into this business. And so we made a conscious decision when our kids were very small that this was what we wanted to
eventually do. Own a vineyard and a winery. And of course, you kind of have to have like the vision board in your mind of what that's going to be like. And we really had no shape to it, but we knew that we wanted to eventually get into the wine business. We were just in love with the whole thing, the agriculture, the lifestyle, the people we were meeting. It was just, we were really enthralled.
Okay, so when did you cross the hill and come over to Sonoma County from this Napa Valley excursion?
So eventually you sort of work your way over. And, you know, it was one of those things, like as soon as we were tasting around Sonoma and we discovered Dry Creek, we discovered Alexander Valley. We love good caps. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, you know, that was a lot in Napa, but then we're like, oh, hello, Alexander Valley. And so fell in love with all of that. And so, you know, we kept coming up here more and more as the years went on. And then finally, you know, it kind of was getting real. And Michael was kind of trying to wrap up his career in public relations. And it was during COVID when nothing was going on. And so he was on I'm going to out you. You were on a conference call on one screen, right. And then the other screen you would have Zillow.
Endless corporate conference calls. Endless calls.
That.
All day
conference. Yeah.
We'd log in at 8. It would be an all-day leadership meeting, and we'd be on from 8 until 6.
Oh, wow.
And we get like 30 minutes off midway through the day to go eat the little lunch. But otherwise, you're on camera the whole day, and you have to be there and be present and be able to answer questions and interact. So, of course, I'm doing something else simultaneously.
Yeah. Right? You're a multitasker.
Yes. I hope you had a glass of wine there, too.
Yeah. Right.
Well, at least half the time.
It was mostly coffee, I think, just to keep you awake. But he was finding places and sending the Zillow links to me. And it was always like, you know, an awesome house, but kind of a not so great vineyard, or like an amazing vineyard and like a not, you know, just not so great house. And so finally, one day he forwards me Woodhog Vineyards. And I take a look. And of course, it is beautiful. It is wonderful. And I'm like, oh gosh, it's too soon. Our twins are still in high school. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we really, this is too soon. But.
And it's too big.
It's too big. It's too much. You know, the whole thing.
Yeah.
So.
Like, it's perfect except for this.
Well, there's always an asterisk, right? And so, because I think what we pictured was like our own little hobby vineyard of like 5 acres.
Yeah.
But the universe's plan for you is always a little bit bigger than your plan for you, is what
like
we've learned. And so, you know, like I said, it was in 2020. Everything was shut down. There's nothing to do. And so we say, you know, let's just drive up for the day.
Yeah,
let's
why
just
not?
Drive up. To mm-hmm. Cloverdale and take a look at this beautiful Woodhog Vineyards. We're just going to look, and I'm doing air quotes.
Yep.
Because it's just like going to just look at a puppy. You're going home with the puppy.
Yeah.
So we drove up, and the minute we came around, we have this beautiful driveway. You come around the corner, and you can just, I just felt my breath like, oh my God. And for me at that moment, I think for you too, it was love at first sight. We just couldn't believe how perfect this place was. The situation is we looked down over Alexander Valley, so we faced southwest.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and so it's just this gorgeous panoramic view.
Up over 1,000 feet, and just it's a beautiful, beautiful spot.
So it already had a name. So
yes.
what was kind of the history? What was the story of Woodhog?
So the vineyard itself is 25 years old. So 25 years ago, the previous owners developed the vineyard and got a contract with Silver Oak. And we're growing for Silver Oak, 21 acres. So we've got 70 acres total, 21 acres of cab, 70 acres of total property, 21 acres of vines. They got it dialed in with Silver Oak. And one of the things that Silver Oak has done traditionally is for their growers, if you make the blend each year, there's a bonus. Hmm. And what these folks figured out how to do, including a full replant because of red blotch in the middle of the whole thing, is they figured out how to make the blend every single year. And so
when we
saw the property, it met a couple real key criteria because, you know, we're not coming in as experts in viticulture. We're not coming in as experts in winemaking. But somebody's already figured out how to farm grapes on this property mm-hmm. that command a long-term contract and a premium price in the market. And so we don't have to try.
Oh, wait. And you love Cabernet.
And
half
a million
how perfect is that?
Yeah. Right.
And of course, we love Silver Oak. And so we're like, oh my gosh, this property is in contract with Silver Oak.
Yeah.
They've been selling to them for all these years. Like, it must mean really great quality
fruit. Did you go saddle up at Silver Oak after you saw the property and do a tasting?
Oh, definitely.
They know us very well. We always bring our guests in and point to the little spot on their map, which shows where our vineyard is.
From the get-go, Silver Oak just welcomed us with open arms. As we were buying the property, you know, they took us out to lunch. They really just wanted to foster that relationship.
That's great.
And we still have that relationship today. And so that has been very valuable in our wine journey as far as education and just also the camaraderie and the support that we get from the winemaking
community. Well, you're moving into a new
community. Right.
Right.
Where you're... Yeah. Well, there's a lot of multi-generational families, mm-hmm. especially up in the Alexander Valley,
absolutely.
For sure, where you're landed.
And they're some of the first people we met, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they were,
so that's
they,
great.
They were very welcome and have been very supportive. And also, we are beginning to make some of our own wine. And so that's an interesting dynamic with Silver Oak because they're used to getting all the grapes and now suddenly we're holding some tons back. And what's been great is... They're not threatened by us.
Yeah.
They think their market share is probably secure.
Yeah,
and Woodhog
yeah,
isn't going to knock them off the table anytime soon. They think it's really cute what we're doing.
So they've
been told me, like, how many tons do you want to keep? You know, just let us know. And so that's been great. And so that's been a wonderful piece of the puzzle for us.
Mm-hmm. So in 2020, so you see the property, you fall in love, you sort of inhale, exhale, this amazing, and then you jumped in.
We had to, right? We did. Well, we did our research, and I think when you fall in love with something like that, it's just, you have to jump on it.
Yeah.
And so it was a very complex transaction. We were buying a business, we were buying a house, we were buying, all of this.
And it was in the middle of COVID.
And it was the middle of COVID.
So I'm in Los Angeles, recording an event in a closed soundstage, and everybody in the crew had to be tested. All the talent has to be tested. Mm-hmm. We're all COVID cleared, so we're officially allowed
like
to do this.
Pod.
We're
going
to pod. We're in a soundstage for a multi-day production, and I have to go out in the parking lot from mobile notary publics who show up in masks for me to sign documents in between breaks of the production because we're closing a transaction. It was bonkers.
And this was the year of one of the really big fires, so it was really hard to get insurance. You know, all they would do is like put it on Google Maps and be like, nope, we're not going to cover you.
But so it was a 90-day transaction, and we're day 88, and we're not going to be able to do the deal because we can't get insurance.
Oh, gosh.
And so Rob McMillan at Silicon Valley Bank, who's helping us with this whole thing, said, let's call Lloyd's. So we got on the phone, and we called London, and we talked to the folks at Lloyd's.
Oh,
and they said, would you be willing to write a policy that would meet the criteria for basically for closing the deal for an unknown period of time? And they're like, but basically, yes, if you'll give us enough stupid money, we'll write you a stupid policy and you can close the deal.
So let's all be stupid.
So we pressed the stupid button really hard, and we got it done. And then, a few weeks, the fires were out, and a few weeks later, we got real insurance, and we were able to get rid of that policy. But we literally had to go to people who insure the Hope Diamond and the Queen Mary to get us through the transaction to close it, because otherwise the deal was going to die. We were 2 days out.
That is insane.
Wow. Yeah.
So
I haven't heard of that actually. So wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah.
I've heard of people like taking multiple policies out just to like make work. But I mean, 2 days.
Nobody would write it.
Yeah.
Couldn't get it, bank couldn't. They couldn't meet the terms. Just wouldn't work.
Yeah. So I'm curious, because you mentioned sort of like a vision board and thinking ahead to this future that is now your present, but were there wineries that you kind of looked toward like as inspirations when you started thinking about this crazy idea?
Gosh, every winery you visit, I think, gives you an idea because to me, my favorite wine is the one that's in front of me.
Yep.
It's going to teach me something.
You are the epitome of the good stuff.
Yes.
Enjoy what's in the moment.
Easy.
That's good.
But, all those years of going, like Pine Ridge was some of our first over in Napa. But up here, we'd go to Jay Vineyards, and that was wonderful. Jordan, of course.
Yes.
Robert Young, just all of these really great wineries in the area, and you just draw inspiration, and especially for Cabernet lovers like us, we're always searching out that awesome bottle and taking some home.
Yeah,
we love a lot of wine. We love Pinots too. We love interesting whites. So we found over time that we're gravitating towards smaller wineries, smaller family run operations, more intimate kind of experiences. Yeah. And so we didn't want to go to Plump Jack. We wanted to go to somebody who's we're going to actually potentially meet the owner or somebody who's part of the family, a much more bespoke kind of experience.
Yeah.
And so as we started thinking about what we wanted to do and sort of that vision board, it was how can we do a really high touch, intimate, owner-led wine experience and create that, because that's what we really found we were enjoying was the chance to really dig in deep with people who are really part of the operation versus sort of valet parking, which you sometimes find now at Napa wineries, right? That's not the experience we're enjoying anymore.
I think people really love when they meet the owners.
I think so too.
I mean, that is my jam. Like if we're wine tasting and the owner comes over and shakes our hand, I just really feel like that's kind of what we need.
The connection.
The connection, because wine is a story. I mean, it's a delicious beverage, of course, but it's the backstory. It's the people that own the vineyard and, all these legacy families like you're talking about. And what's been so lovely is they've made room for us.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Which I think is part of what makes Sonoma County so special.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have to take a quick break, and we can come back on the good stuff to talk more about what makes Sonoma County special. Back on the good stuff with our guests today, Michael and Kara Buslin, co-owners of Woodhawk Vineyards. And so we got a little bit of the story about how you found this magical place and just went all in. But I want to know more about what you were doing when you were staring at the screen for the entire day. But both of your business backgrounds, kind of the things that you've done that maybe translate to the wine world?
Yeah, I mean, I think I spent my whole career in marketing, so 30-plus years. I worked for a PR agency and ran a PR agency for a decade, and then I spent 20-plus years on the corporate side. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, literally demand gen.
Everything.
Like,
yes.
all the pieces. And so I think, you know, that is, it's highly relevant for successfully running a winery, a vineyard, and a winery, and especially at the moment where it's harder, I think, to find customers and to make this a financial success. So background was, agency for 10 years, 20 years on the corporate side, mostly for Fortune 500s, and then a lot of time in cybersecurity.
Oh.
Which is, you know, if you're in corporate America, it's one of the more exciting parts of corporate America to be in. You can blink bleach, or you can make Twinkies, or you can deal with bad guys who are trying to take out the government and major companies.
Ooh.
And so it's fun in storytelling. It's, you know, we like to have stories with good guys and bad guys, and cybersecurity inherently is about good guys fighting bad guys every day. And so it just makes for good storytelling and makes for interesting opportunities. So worked in cyber, worked through a lot of cyber events for both McAfee and CrowdStrike, and then had the opportunity with CrowdStrike to help the company go public, which was really a fascinating process.
Yeah.
And getting ready to go public and preparing everybody for that, getting through the filing, getting through the IPO, and then, you know, sustaining the business and building it past that was a lot of fun. It's also a lot of work.
So
and a half years into that role, I was, you know, sort of really counting the days down until I was ready to sort of wrap it up. And the company was great. They were very supportive. I gave them plenty of heads up that I was going to make a transition, and they sent me off with a really nice send off. Mm-hmm. And so then transitioning to this role, and really digging into viticulture and digging into winemaking, we were really fortunate. I'll let you get to your background here in a second, but we were really fortunate in our journey to be introduced by a mutual friend to a guy named Rob Davis.
Sure.
And Rob Davis was at Jordan. He was the founding winemaker at Jordan for over 30 years, apprenticed under Andre Tittleschef. He's our neighbor. He rides his bike past our house and has been looking up the hill at our vines for the last couple decades. And we were introduced, and, you know, we just immediately found a connection. He was retired. He was kind of driving his wife a little crazy. He was bored. He needed something to do. We had grapes, and we knew nothing about making them into wine. And he's like, well, let me help you make some wine. And so off and running, we went with Rob Davis, which is just a terrific hookup in Sonoma County right out of the
gate.
So
incredible.
Meet the Silver Oak people, and the next person we meet is Rob Davis.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, you got two, I want to say, anchor, especially Cabernet houses in Sonoma County. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what were you up to?
Oh, I know. Okay,
all the things.
All the things. I think probably the most fascinating thing is I started working on a cruise ship right out of college. And so I did the cruise ship thing for a couple years, and it was just the Hawaiian Islands. And that was awesome.
Wow.
It's as fun as you're thinking it was.
My guilty pleasure is Below Deck on TV.
Oh, it's so true. All of it's true.
Like, I'm just saying.
Our daughter loves that.
Yeah.
And so were you in charge of events?
So at first I was the purser. So if you're thinking of the Love Boat, I was Gopher.
Yes. Okay.
And then I was the wedding and party coordinator.
Okay,
and
that's a big job.
It's a great job. It was a lot of fun, but you can't do that forever.
Yeah.
But that's
like a great moment in time at a certain age. Like, you're living the life. You're like,
20s.
I'm glad I did this. I lived in Manhattan Beach in my early 20s, and that was also kind of a great moment in time.
Not a bad place.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it makes for great stories. So that just speaks to what an outgoing person that I am. And so then I was like, okay, I can't do this forever. And so then moved to San Diego and went to public relations and did that until our twins were born. Mm-hmm. And then,
And that's when your paths crossed. So through work, through friends.
Yeah. We were both in public relations. So it was like, how you doing?
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. I like it.
I know. And so then we moved up to Danville, and I stayed home with the kiddos for a while. And then I got into fitness. And I was a fitness coach for many, many years. And it kind of cracks me up now, because I'd always tell my clients, like, you know, you're lifting these weights, so you're training for your life outside of this gym. You know, in here we train for life. And so now I'm actually personifying that in the sense of there's so much work to do at a winery and a vineyard, and it all involves lifting really heavy, yes, awkward stuff, and you're really trying. And so all of these times I was doing deadlifts and sumo squat, blah, blah, blah. I was building those muscles.
Bend your knees.
Yes. Protect your back.
Yes.
But now I'm just so glad that, you know, Michael and I can do a lot of things together, like lifting really heavy things, moving really heavy things, climbing onto the back of trucks and strapping things down. It's just been a wonderful thing. And yeah, I do get a lot of great exercise walking the vineyard. It is, yeah, very steep. In some places, they couldn't even plant on our property because, yeah, it was so steep. So if you want to get a good burn, just come walk up my hill by block 5.
Yeah. That's like the ideal fitness
I feel like you
situation.
Should set up a little challenge course.
Totally.
Up there.
Like,
you know, you're, yeah, not the first person to suggest that. Huh? Like, hey, we can do a little barrel lifting over here, and then you can run up the hill.
No. And then fix a tractor. And yeah,
yeah, it's, yeah, all, it's all the day in the life.
But I would love to know, just like from a PR perspective, coming from many, you know, very different worlds, I mean, what do you make of, like, wine as PR problem?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time coming, right? So yeah, it didn't just happen overnight.
It feels like it did, but it really didn't.
No,
I know.
I think, yeah, and I mentioned Rob at Silicon Valley Bank before, but he's been talking about his concern about the trends for a better part of a
long
decade.
Time, yeah.
Right. So, mm-hmm, yeah, I think. Well, we in particular, we notice the disconnect with young people. Mm-hmm. So we've got kids, our kids are 20. We've got a lot of friends whose kids are 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. And their knowledge about wine, their interest in wine, their familiarity with it is really, really low. Mm. So one of the things we've taken upon ourselves is when the kids turn 21, we invite our friends to bring them up and we do a wine education course around the table
up at
Woodhawk. And then we take them out and go wine tasting in the valley.
Nice.
And oftentimes it's their first tasting. So Silver Oak is getting used to us showing up with a whole bunch of brand
newbies,
new 21-year-old,
yeah, bring them,
IDs
them
with them and checking the IDs.
Silver
and
Oak
sure
is very good at carding people.
Yeah, I like that. That's,
yes,
great.
But it's just, yeah, great to be able to just introduce that. But so I think there's the young person issue. I think there's obviously broader sort of health issues. And then I think to some degree wineries have kind of lost sight of their customers. I, mm-hmm, think they've lost sight of really connecting with people who are the ones who are going to continue to enjoy the product. I think there's too many average experiences out there. I think,
yeah,
there's too much average wine out there, and I don't think it's high touch enough and intimate enough to really be memorable. We find when we do like a passport weekend or, mm-hmm, something around that we go taste, we'll try several different wineries. We often have a hard time remembering which ones we visited, mm, over the course of a day because they're not. It's not that unique. It's not that distinct.
Yeah.
So I think people really got to dial in what makes them different and lean into that. Everybody can't do the same thing and expect people to remember them or,
yeah,
to have a differentiation in the marketplace.
Right. Well, I mean, I wonder, like, from the fitness perspective, I mean, you know, the health part of the PR problem. I mean, what can we do?
Everything in moderation.
Absolutely.
Including moderation.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think, you know, wine has gotten this sort of bad rap, maybe. Mm-hmm. And people used to be like, oh, a glass of red wine a day has, you know, all the antioxidants. And then all of a sudden that's changed. And it's like, oh, you should not drink wine. And I think a lot of people have turned to ready to drinks. And,
yeah,
that's all chemicals. So I don't,
which,
really,
I
understand,
I was like,
that.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I talk about that all the time.
Wine is organic.
Look at the ingredients on the side of that can.
Yeah,
what's,
it's
natural,
literally
there, right?
Like the thing
they're
that.
Like, yes. Some people be like, I'm a purist. And then they're like, sorry, they're drinking a Truly or something with, mm-hmm, a lot of ingredients in it. I'm like,
it's all,
yeah,
chemicals.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, reminding people of wine that it is just grapes,
yeah,
and it is a natural product, I think that that's going to go a long way. And I think people are just kind of, they have so many more options now.
Yeah. There are
it
a
used
lot
to
options.
Just be
it's
beer
true.
And wine,
mm-hmm, yeah,
and now we have, and of course spirits, but now we just have a lot of competition from that. And frankly, a lot of wines are just priced out of the,
yeah,
out of the market. Like, I'm not, $25 for a glass of wine is a lot of money,
yeah,
especially when you can get a margarita for $13 and you know it's what it's going to taste like.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll take a quick break and come back and ponder some more on the good stuff.
Thank you.
on air with Michael and Kara Buslin from Woodhawk Vineyards. And I mean, given both of your very busy careers beforehand, I mean, has it been or was it originally like a hard adjustment to viticulture?
This wonderful life with this wonderful county.
It's amazing. It was not difficult at all.
Okay, so you loved it immediately.
Like, just fell into it. It's such a lovely change.
Yeah.
We just love it up here. That it's just so much. I could feel my cortisol levels drop. Like, right? I come around the corner and I see the vineyards and I go, oh, yeah, this is pretty great. Mm-hmm. So, no, it took us zero time to acclimate. We absolutely love it. And we moved up here full time in January of 2024. Yep. We had to get our kids graduated from high school, get them off to college, and then sell that house and move up here and just have really felt so welcome everywhere we go. And when we meet people or we go, hey, you know, we're starting a winery, people always say, oh, you need to talk to so-and-so, you need to talk to so-and-so. And it just has been such a warm welcome.
Mm.
The biggest change for me has been the speed. So I came from corporate America and cybersecurity, and I was used to working 50, 55 hours a week, and where, you know, requests would come in and we were expected to like complete the task and turn it around in the next couple of hours, mm-hmm. or maybe the next day. And suddenly we're in agriculture and, you know, we're talking about, you know, picking grapes that we maybe release in a bottle for people to enjoy 4 or 5 years yes, from right. now, right? So it's just a dramatically different sort of pacing. And so, you know, I love...
For someone who's results-driven and results-oriented, mm-hmm. that's a little harder.
And very short-term focus. I came from software, right? Which is just very, very... Yes. You can change your direction as a software company completely in 6 months if you need to. And, you know, you can't get your new vines to produce grapes you want for 5 years. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just completely different.
You have to reset.
You're not in charge.
No.
Mother Nature is in charge.
Yeah,
and that can be
always.
Hard sometimes.
But I love the mix of my day. I love, you know, I love all the tasks that running a big rural property have. I love all the physical hands-on things I get to do. I've loved learning viticulture. So Redwood Empire Vineyard Management, Tyler is our viticulture, they're our partners. And so they've been great in terms of explaining things to me and really taking me through and teaching me how this is all done. I love when we're walking in the vineyards, evaluating the vines, and the conversation is in three languages simultaneously, because we have folks who speaks primarily Spanish who are on the team. We've got me who just speaks English, and then we have consultants from France. And so literally it's like a UN meeting in the middle of my vineyard, and I need a translator. And so everyone does it back and forth, and then somebody explains to me what they just said. But it's been fascinating. So learning the viticulture, learning the winemaking from Rob, the first year of 2022, we said, okay, we've been growing these grapes here for Silver Oak for 20 years. No one's ever tried to see if these grapes are any good on their own. We like to say when you open a bottle of Silver Oak Alexander Valley, the best 4% of your glass is ours. All right. So
remember that next time.
Okay. So we're like, okay, but what can they actually do on their own? So we needed a proof of concept.
Yeah.
So we made our first hobby vintage in the barn. We made 35 cases, a barrel and a half, and we literally processed the entire ton by hand. We did the entire thing by hand. Wow. We literally, I touched every cluster. We ran through an old December crusher.
Yep.
We fermented it in a macro bin, which I had a glycol cooling system cooling down. God. The barn was like 112 degrees, so I brought in a portable air conditioning system to drop the ambient temperature down. Because it was that was 2022. We hit 117 in Cloverdale. The week we were working was 117 in Cloverdale. Crazy. And so, you know, how good is our baby, right? How good does this stuff taste? And so we went through the whole process, and the answer was pretty damn good.
Yeah, I like it.
And so then we went from proof of concept to getting all the licenses and getting all the permits and beginning to actually make our own wine. So we did 150 cases in 23, we did 200 cases in 24, and we did 325 cases in 25.
Nice. Wow.
And so we're just stepping our way up, and our first commercial release will be into 26, early 27, and people will actually get to try it. And we, you know, have the privilege of being able to taste the not yet ready for prime time wine. And the hobby vintage was good. You can make a lot better wine when you go to custom crush facilities that have real equipment, and you're not doing it in your barn in an open bin.
Completely.
And it's 115 degrees. So much better wine, much better wine in a commercial setting. But each year it keeps getting better and better. And we think we're dialing in the fruit, but we also think we're dialing in our winemaking and really figuring out what it takes to make really great wine at Woodhawk. And we're really excited. We'll be part of Pocket Peak, so the Alexander Valley Sub AVA. So we sit right next to Roddy Strong's brother's vineyard, and we've got the Jackson's Orleans and other folks just down the road from us. So we really like our location. We like the fruit, and we're excited with what we're going to be able to bring to market.
And I should say, Michael's on our board at the Sonoma County Wine Grower, so we got him busy doing that as well.
Which I love, by the way. I love being part of that.
Yeah, I think he likes to be busy.
I think
so. Yeah, you know. we're going to have to take a quick break, but we'd like for you to stay on and
do our good stuff
wines. Do our good stuff wines. Here. Up on today's good stuff. So tell us, how can people find out more about Woodhawk Vineyards?
So our website is the best way to find out more about us right now, woodhawkvineyards.com. We have an interest list. We've got several hundred people on it waiting for our first release, which is exciting because we only have 150 cases and we have way more people than that on the list. So we expect our first release to sell out very quickly. If things go well, we will release that wine and have a tasting room and availability to visit us by end of next year.
Okay, well, wow.
I know.
All right. Anything else? Any events you're participating in or anything that...
Not yet. We're still cooking the cab. It's not quite ready for release.
Well, we'll cook the cab. And in the meantime, we invite you to give us your Tuesday night wine suggestions. What are you going to break open on the Tuesday night?
No
so
pressure.
So many choices.
I know. Carrie, you don't want to decide, so you can do two.
Okay, thank you. I think, yes. Though you always have to say the first one that pops in your head because that was probably your favorite. But it's a Robert Young Scion.
Yeah.
I just love that. They did a great job with that wine. And then the other one would be a Gary Farrell Pinot.
Oh, boy.
That's a beautiful winery, too. They've got such a great view. So
true.
Okay, yeah, I picked two. It's a big Tuesday.
That's okay.
And I'm going to do a Papa Pietro Perry Pinot because I love their Pinot and I love the family operation.
Yeah, so great.
Well, I'm going to give a nod to your very good partners, Silver Oak, and pick a 21 Alexander Valley Silver Oak Cabernet. Because 4% of it, I know, will be amazing.
That's right. I like that. The best 4%.
The best 4%.
From what I heard.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to do a nod to your winemaker at Woodhawk and enjoy the Jordan. And I'm actually, I have a 2010 in my cellar I'm going to pull out because Steve and I did a hike there one year during COVID. It was great.
I'm sure Rob Davis touched that whole thing.
Oh, so that's got Rob's fingerprints all over it.
Yeah, 15 years old. I mean,
love it.
Yeah, those are caps that age really well.
Love it. Indeed.
Well, so much good stuff today.
So much good stuff. Yeah. No, I mean, I love the conversation about just somebody new coming into the community and you're so into it. You're so excited about the viticulture. You're so excited about the winemaking. I mean, this doesn't happen a lot.
I know.
Well, we bring passion. So we're both lifelong learners, and so we're really leaning into the learning of this whole thing. And hopefully eventually, you know, down the line, someone will be talking about our family legacy.
I love that.
In the county.
And it's winemaking is way more complex than I think most people realize. They open the bottle and pour it and just think there it is. And what's great is just like as we continue to pull it apart, we learn something new every day. We learn something new every day, and it's just wonderful.
I bet. And so outside of Rob Davis, do you want to give a shout-out to any other people that have helped you along the way? You've had Silver Oak folks, but...
Well, the Redwood Empire folks.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Kevin and Tyler and the Redwood folks have just been... They've been absolutely amazing, and they've been farming the property its entire life. So they literally know where everything is buried because they literally bury it.
Yeah, they actually do.
So it's just, so helpful.
It's so helpful. It's unbelievable how helpful that is.
Yes.
So coming in and just like, oh, my God, I've got 70 acres, and how does this work? And they literally know the answers. Mm-hmm.
And what do you think is the timeline on the Pocket Peak Appellation?
I've seen a winemaker who actually has put the Pocket Peak AVA on their label. Ooh. For a wine that they're getting ready to release. So it's not officially an AVA yet, but somebody's already sneaking the name on.
Oh,
so
well.
I think it's got to be getting close.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got to be getting close.
That's fun. Something to look forward to. Thank you so much for joining us today on The Good Stuff. And from Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.